and you made my a great guy. Point. Yeah, you made a great point two episodes ago.
Hold up. Say that again. I did what?
You made a great point.
I've been giving you props this whole episode. Who made it?
Nah, we're not going to. I'm not going to let you go overkill. Man, I've been giving your ass kudos.
Go ahead.
You want the almond joy and the kudos.
Talk to me about Gilly Glocks, man. The Cowboys are in a situation where Jalen Smith and Amari Cooper are really the guys that you're going to be able to look to get instant savings and not damage yourself too much moving forward. That's where you're going to look. Whether or not they do that, whether or not they have to do that, is contingent on how much the cap is and where they stand with Dak Prescott. Zach Martin is Zach Martin. Unless he gives me any hints that he's looking to change careers, it's a four. It'll never be less than a four.
Ladies and gentlemen, if it happens, it's KD's fault. You heard it here first.
I'll take that. I'm well known to be the bad guy. I'll take that. It's not a problem. Ain't no problems.
Some people just like to see the world burn.
I do. I mean, hey. All right. You are now rocking with the best, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in to another exciting, exhilarating, and Freddie Freeman-free episode of the Catch This Fade podcast. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond. Follow me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. That is my man, 5 grand, Mr. Patrick, no C, no World Series win since the 90s, Walker. Find him on Twitter at Voice of the Star. Say what's up to the people, Pat.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the latest episode of Catch This Fade. Thank you so much for all of the subscribers, whether you're at the $3 tier or the $10 friend of the program tier, which gets you the pre-roll antics. It gets you all the benefits. It gets you the video. It gets you being able to congratulate Freddie Freeman for winning 2020 National League MVP, along with myself and KD as well. And of course, it gets you all of the latest, greatest, most objective, straight down the line intel when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, and reminding KD that the Nationals finished in last place in the division.
Yeah, it was an asterisk season, so it doesn't really matter where they finished. Did you win?
Let's take it to Magic City for these wings. We don't want that asterisk.
You can tell the people whatever you like, but you and I know what's going on.
And I will.
Okay. All right. See, that's what you're going to roll
and
with.
I will.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here on the free show, we welcome you. This is the kind of banter that we have all the time. For some strange reason, God made Pat a Braves fan. He blessed me with being a
Nationals fan. Because God doesn't make mistakes.
Which is why
he made me a Braves fan.
Which is why, as an adult, I've actually celebrated a World Series championship. Pat is still trying to hang on to glory years.
I was an adult in the mid-90s. Not because of calendar age, but because of upbringing. Right?
The things we tell ourselves.
Hey, mental maturity matters, sir.
If you're here on the free show, we welcome you.
I was 15.
We implore you to consider subscribing to the show. We have absolutely great talks before the show that is only available for those at the $10 tier. The $3 tier gets full audio every week. The free show, you get the sample. You get the preview every Friday. You get a little bit of what we do, but we do this twice a week, every Tuesday, every Friday. If you get the pre-roll, if you're on that tier, you actually get the early release on Monday and Thursday nights. So this is what we do for our people. We talk about the Dallas Cowboys, and we do it in a way that you want to hear what we're talking about, even in this miserable season like what's going on. That brings me to this conversation. It's not a comfortable conversation, but it's one that we have to have. A couple weeks ago, I wrote an article on CowboysWire.com, shameless plug, and I gave the reasons why and the ways how the Dallas Cowboys can escape from Jalen Smith's contract. Previously believed to be something that they were going to be locked into for a long time, there is a way, albeit with some down the road pain, that they can get out of the Jalen Smith contract if they want. My point in that conversation was this. I don't think that Jalen Smith is not salvageable. I think that he has talent. He is playing horribly this year, but I do not think that is representing what he can be at the pinnacle. But more often than not, over the course of his career, we've had reason to believe that Jalen Smith is not the right player for everything that's been heaped upon him. He didn't play 2016. 2017 was a redshirt year. 2018 was a Pro Bowl season. Even though he didn't make the Pro Bowl, he was at that caliber. Yes. 2019, he made the Pro Bowl, but his play fell backwards.
Yes.
2020, he's dropped into the abyss. It is absolutely shameful what we're watching out of Jalen Smith on a weekly basis out there. I've basically called him a dog chasing laser in traffic because that's how it looks before the snap. He is completely confused. He follows every motion. He is completely thrown astray by whatever the offense is doing. Pat, am I incorrect in my evaluation of Jalen Smith so far?
Absolutely, you are. Now, obviously, and this goes for those that are new to the program and haven't necessarily heard some of the background we've given as far as justification for some of the fall off that we're witnessing with Jalen Smith. So just to repeat and beat this dead horse, you're talking about lack of an offseason. You're talking about truncated training camp. You're talking about no preseason. Now, all of those items would matter, but they would matter less if there was not, guess what, a coaching regime change. He's moving over from, several seasons with Rob Marinelli. And then, of course, you bring in Mike Nolan and Mike Nolan's position coaches in the aforementioned lack of an offseason. You're going to have some hiccups. Then you see LVE go down with injury early in the season on the heels of the Cowboys switching roles between those two. They move LVE over to Mike. They move Jalen Smith over to Will. The Cowboys did Jalen Smith no favors by making this a year that they changed his position whilst everything else was going on this offseason. So there is a ton of accountability on the Cowboys as an organization and as a new coaching staff, or I should say a coaching staff that's new to Dallas. But that does not alleviate the accountability and responsibility from Jalen Smith being the guy on the field tasked with executing. The angles that he's taking are highly questionable. That you're not going to convince me that that's necessarily coaching. Yes, I know that he's not completely bought into the scheme just yet. If not, but for the most part of majority of the season, I should say, he was not. He wanted it simplified. And I understand that because it goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the season, KD, when I said that Nolan should have phased in this right. install right. Instead of trying to dump it all on one in one sitting and then having to scale back massive chunks of it only to try to reinstall it in 2021, right? Kind of counterproductive, but Mike Nolan, who has admittedly improved here lately over the past couple of weeks, so we'll keep an eye on Nolan, see if he climbs from under the fade. But Jalen Smith, for the money he's being paid, yes, the deal was quote unquote team friendly, but to hear Jerry Jones say he's a cornerstone player for the organization is disconcerting, because when I think cornerstone players, I'm thinking Dak Prescott. I'm thinking DeMarcus Lawrence. I'm thinking Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, to a lesser but still slightly equal degree, Michael Gallup. CeeDee Lamb is going to get there, obviously. You're talking about, LVE if healthy, right? I mean, there are cornerstone players that come to mind when you're thinking about the Cowboys. Jalen Smith, based on a step back, albeit a Pro Bowl season 2019, a step back in 2019, a fall off of a cliff in 2020, I just don't see him as a cornerstone player. So if the Cowboys can get from under this contract, albeit with some financial hiccups, some dead money, they'll have to eat, obviously, after the release or the trade. I ideally would look to, and we'll get to this in towards the end of the show when we talk about the draft, when we reference the draft, but I would look to potentially replace him if not in free agency with a stopgap, definitely in the draft and or a combination of those two things. But before you outright release him, he has enough value that you can get an asset for him on the trade block. And if that asset is, something like a fifth round pick,
Yeah, I think that he definitely has some trade value. I think it might even be higher than that because of the fact that his base salaries over the next several years are not that expensive.
Right.
The majority of the issue is the fact that the Cowboys gave him the signing bonus, and that is, a chunk of the change. But his base salary is $7.25 million. You can easily see that as being something that another team would be willing to take a gamble on, because you can just restructure him, pay him $1 million in base salary, spread that out over a couple of years, and then if you don't like him, you just have minimal dead money moving forward. So
that's fair, but I don't see them – I don't see anyone giving up an outright fourth. I think it'd be like a what do you call it? God, it's late night, man. You got to help me out. A conditional fifth round pick that could go up to a fourth if he, plays X amount of snaps, if he produces X amount of tackles and, so forth and so on.
Yeah, I could easily see a conditional draft pick being in that direction. My point about saying that the Cowboys should consider trading or more so releasing Jalen Smith is this. If they do it early enough, he has a clause that his base salary becomes guaranteed on the fifth day of the league year. So if you're trading him, it doesn't matter because the team is going to acquire him for the season. So that's really not
That's my go-to is the trade first.
But the issue and the reason why I think that the Cowboys would consider it is because they need to create space for Dak Prescott. Right now, the Cowboys have around $27 million in cap space remaining this year after all the releases have kicked in. They got rid of Everson Griffin and Dontari Poe and Daryl Worley and all of that kind of stuff added up. They have about $27 million of cap space right now. That would be an outrageous amount going into any season if it weren't for the pandemic. The pandemic has shifted the salary cap projections for next year. It hasn't come out officially, but the NFL was so worried about the loss of revenue from ticket sales and concession sales that they actually set a floor. They said that because the salary cap is based on a percentage of revenue, it will not go below $175 million. And I talk about the cap all the time. Everybody knows that's my thing. The cap was projected to be $210 to $215 million in 2021. So losing $40 million, $35, $40 million from the projected amount puts all 32 teams in a very bad bind. It's difficult for all 32 teams. It's more difficult for the Cowboys because their franchise quarterback is not under contract. So when you're dealing with long-term contracts, you project to how much cap space is going to be there. So years as they've gone by, they signed DeMarcus Lawrence, they signed Amari Cooper, they signed Ezekiel Elliott. All of those things were with the intention of being having so much cap room in 2021 that it really wasn't going to be a big deal to sign those guys. And you could have negotiated with Dak Prescott and gotten to a fair point based on that. But now everything is flipped upside down. The Cowboys may have to put another franchise tag on Dak Prescott, which would mean $36.9 million has to be available on their cap the first day of the league year. In order to put the franchise tag on Dak Prescott, you have to have the space to absorb that money into your salary cap. So if you look at rolling over the $27 million from now onto the onto the $175 million expected cap floor next year, the Cowboys are just, they don't have enough money to afford the franchise tag on Dak Prescott. $27 million, $36.9 million. You still need
the math. The math is the math.
So they're going to have to do something in order to franchise tag Prescott. Now, if they sign Prescott to an extension before the new year starts, which they're able to do, there's a window that they
negotiate.
They can negotiate as soon as the season's over and work out the long-term deal with him. If they get that done, beautiful. Then you don't have to worry about releasing Jalen Smith or the move that I'm about to suggest. But if you do need that space, and hold on, let me backtrack a bit, because this is an important factor. Dak Prescott isn't the only person that they're going to have to sign. They only have 44 players under contract right now. There's an entire 2021 draft that they're going to have to pay for. And because the Cowboys are in line to pick top five, it's going to be an expensive draft for them to pay for. If you're in the top 10 when it comes to NFL, when it comes to draft picks, the amount of money going to those guys is still exorbitant. The rookie salary cap changed a lot about how much you pay rookies, but it's still a lot of money that goes to these top picks. The Cowboys will need around $5.5 million of cap space to add all of the players from their 2021 cap. So on top of Dak Prescott's franchise tag money, you have the rookie class, and then you would like to probably sign some free agents along the way, whether it be Chidobe Awuzie, another cornerback, whatever the case may be, there are going to be players that the Cowboys would like to sign that they have absolutely no cap space for right now. So even after you do deal with Dak Prescott and the rookie class, and then you talk about the additional free agents, you're really going to need about $15 to $30 million of cap space in order to do what you want to do this offseason, in order to just be back to the same point that you're at where you thought you were at the beginning of this year.
Right. They're just trying to recover ground. Right.
So that's why I'm going to make this suggestion. And I don't do it lightly.
Oh, where you going, man? Where you going?
The Cowboys need to consider releasing or trading Amari Cooper, and I would probably lean to trading on that one. The Cowboys need to consider trading Amari Cooper, and there's many reasons why. Cooper is a number one receiver. There's no doubt about that. He's clearly a number one receiver. But I just explained to you the cap situation.
Right.
When the Cowboys signed Cooper this past offseason, they probably made the best contract that they have in history. Because normally the Cowboys front load their contracts with a big signing bonus, but they didn't do that for Cooper. It's almost as if they were preparing for the possibility that if they ever had to chop somebody, it would be Cooper.
He'd be the guy.
When they signed Elliott and Lawrence and all of these other players, big signing bonuses, sign him for multiple 5 years or longer, and then you spread out the cap hit from the signing bonus. That's how it works with the signing bonus. They get the money up front, but the cap hit is spread out evenly across each year of the deal up to 5 years. They only gave Amari Cooper a $10 million signing bonus. They gave him a $10 million base salary, $10 million signing bonus. He walks away with $20 million in year one. In year two, he makes $20 million, but that's all base salary. Mm-hmm. Year three, $20 million, all base salary. Year four, year five, same thing, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. That's how they set up his deal. So when you're looking at the proration, spreading out of the signing bonus across the term of across the length of the deal, each year only gets an additional $2 million cap hit on top of the base salary. Yep. Which means that if you were to trade Amari Cooper in 2021, while right now he's on your books for $22 million, $20 million goes away because you're getting rid of the base salary, and then $2 million remains from his signing bonus for 2020, and then another $6 million from 2021, 2022, 2023.
The prorations.
The prorations, I'm sorry, 22, 23, and 24, the prorations right. accelerate onto the 2021 cap. So as opposed to $22 million as far as his cap hit, you no longer have the player, but the cap hit actually drops $14
million.
That's an amazing amount of money. And then when you add into it the fact that you can trade Cooper for a first-round pick, you're talking about a no-brainer. And this is why. I was writing an article dealing with Dak Prescott's season. And that it pained me, but I had to do it. It's cathartic. It makes me feel better. And I started doing some analysis about who his top receiver was. Pat and I have had this argument all the time. I say that CeeDee Lamb is the better of the two between him and Michael Gallup. Pat says Michael
and
Gallup.
And you're wrong. Right, and I'm right.
So explain to me this. Riddle me this, Batman. Why is it that so far this year, out of all of the impact plays, and this is a formula that I've done, impact plays, CeeDee Lamb has six of them on the year. Six of Dak Prescott's top 15 impact plays. Michael Gallup has four. Amari Cooper only has two. You know who else has two? Cedric Wilson.
I knew, yep, actually, Cedric Wilson.
Actually, Cedric Wilson has three because the pass that Cedric Wilson threw to Dak Prescott is another one. So technically, Cedric Wilson has had more impact plays with Dak Prescott than his number one receiver. So picture this. They trade Amari Cooper. They get a first-round pick for him, and the Cowboys roll with CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and Cedric Wilson. Cedric Wilson is now in the main rotation, which means that you can run all these trick plays because you're seeing Cedric Wilson is their trick play guy. He is their trick play guy, no doubt about right. it. After what we right. saw with the punt return last week, he is their trick play guy. Are they really losing that much by not having Amari Cooper on the team to the point that you can save the cap money in order to pay Dak and in turn get a number one pick? Doesn't that make sense to you?
It does make sense. And it's – I will say it's a discussion that justifiably needs to be had. It cannot be dismissed out of hand. But for my money, you also can't just dive forehead first into it as well. Now, the numbers, like we said, the math is the math. Two is greater than one, four is greater than two. You know, there's just no getting around that. Just like there's no getting around the fact that you have to recover millions and millions of potentially lost salary cap revenue so that you can fit Dak Prescott under the cap. And then you do want to make some moves in free agency. You're going to want to retain at least one potentially of these defensive backs, maybe none, but guess what? If you don't retain them, now you have a depth issue. You have, and you need draft insurance. Yep. So you're going to get somebody in free agency. It's just how it goes. So everything you laid out is absolutely accurate. I'm not going to poke any holes in it because, to be honest with you, there are no holes to be poked into it. What I would say is if you're the Cowboys, you have to look at it from the standpoint of, yes, someone like CeeDee Lamb, you know, rookie 17th overall pick, comes in, hits the ground running with Dak Prescott, immediately becomes one of the better receivers in the league, can do it inside, can do it outside, can do it underneath. He's a yak beast, dot, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when it comes to Lamb. Gallup, he's your big play guy. Doesn't do a ton of work underneath, but if you need that big play on a go route, you need that big, you know, muscular, high point, physical, just out muscle the DB down the field type play, that's where Michael Gallup comes into play. But when it comes to questions about, well, you have Gallup in one role, right? And he's mastering that role. You have CeeDee Lamb hit the ground running in his role that he's mastered, and he refined it at Oklahoma. So, hey, you're not exactly surprised, right? Amari Cooper, though, and this goes to a column that I wrote earlier today. I was curious, and I wanted to see how each of the top four Cowboys receivers are performing this year as it relates to which quarterback is starting in any particular week. And that's where things get really, really interesting, because you know what you have in Lamb, but when you look at next-gen stats, and you look at a category like, what is it, CROE, right? You look at CROE, which is catch rate over expectation,
right?
Okay? Lamb is positive, but it's just barely. It's plus 0.8. Amari Cooper, well, I'll get to that in a second. Michael Gallup. And this also goes to, you know, what I'll talk about in a second after we get past the Gallup point, or when we get past the Cooper point. Gallup, he's trending downward because of particular quarterbacks he doesn't do necessarily well with. But he's now negative in CROE at, you know, negative 1.1. Cedric Wilson's, his CROE fell off of a freaking cliff because he's the trick guy, but also he's what I call the secret weapon in the unit for Dak Prescott. Everybody's scheming for Cooper and Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. And hey, you even have Dalton Schultz out there being a serviceable, sometimes a more than serviceable tight end. You forget about Cedric Wilson. Dak Prescott, that's when he would pull Cedric Wilson out of the stable and do work. These other quarterbacks haven't been able to do that. He's an afterthought, right? He's an afterthought. But Cedric Wilson, his is just off of a cliff. He's like minus 4 point something on CROE. Catch rate above expectation or over expectation for Amari Cooper is almost 8% over expectation. You have to think about things like that when I'm not saying you're doing it, because you're not. You're just making your case. And I know you're not outright dismissing Cooper. But for those that would jump on that let's trade Cooper train blindly, you have to understand that while there are justifiable points to be made on that train of thought, on the other train of thought, there's just so much freaking value, not only from Cooper in a production standpoint, because he's for the most part, been the most consistent. Now, he's had a couple drop-offs, but that's QB play, right? So, like, in Washington, he only had one catch out of five targets, but four of those weren't catchable. So, like, what can you do?
Right.
But he's been the most consistent of all of them. We talk about catch rate over expectation, just blowing the other three out of the water, doubling, tripling, quadrupling, some of them quadruples, Gallup's catch rate over expectation. And it's because he does the dirty work. He's the best route runner on the team. He does the dirty work, and it's not so quiet as it's kept. He has the most poignant and most potent chemistry with Prescott of all four of those receivers we're talking about. And my ranking will go as this. If we're talking about chemistry with Dak Prescott, as much as we had the conversation, Gallup versus Lamb, and that was fun and everything, wonderful. Chemistry-wise, it goes Cooper, Gallup, Lamb is climbing, but he's still number three at the moment. And it's close. It's close. But the reason he's number three is because Dak got injured. Not, you know, there's no more weeks this year that he can build that chemistry. No more practices, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll say there, it's a photo finish between Gallup and Lamb. And then you have Cedric Wilson pulling up the rear, right? Cooper's chemistry with Dak is there. Cooper does the dirty work. Cooper, you know, when you need the big possession play, yes, you could – think Lamb, and that would be a nice thought, and he'd probably come up with it because he's already demonstrated that he has been able to do that. But unless you absolutely need that $14 million, and the reason I stress it that way is because we know what the floor is, KD. We know the floor is 175, but we don't know the actual.
Right. No, that's true. But you know that before you made a move.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. So just to be clear on that for all of the listeners, you don't make a move of any magnitude, but especially this magnitude, and because you know Amari Cooper is going to yield you a first round pick in return, right? You don't have to start putting feelers out there. You don't have to be premature with that. You can literally sit back and wait until you get the cap number. And once you get the cap number, then you can pick up the phone. Oh, and not even have to pick up the phone.
You don't even have to pick up the phone.
You just leak.
Because people are gonna call.
Right. You just leak it. Right. You just say, hey, we're open for business on Amari Cooper. And the lines are gonna light up like a Christmas tree in Central freaking Park.
Yeah.
So what I would say is, if push comes to shove, and by that I mean once the actual salary cap numbers come out, if you absolutely at that point need the $14 million and there are no other moves to be made to accumulate that amount, which includes potentially making moves to trade Jalen Smith and or make moves releasing other players so that you can add up to that amount and avoid divorcing, for lack of a better way to put it, Dak Prescott's favorite weapon, then you want to just make sure you're having the appropriate and robust conversation around it. So to your question, I do agree that it should be on the table, but not on the block, right?
Yeah.
But with it being on the table, the Cowboys have to be very careful here because a healthy Dak Prescott returning, he wants to return to Amari Cooper. He wants to return to what he left behind in 2020, so that he can pick up and hit the ground running. Doesn't want to have to, you know, make new adjustments to the offense, and rightfully so. So if it has to happen, I can understand why the Cowboys would do it. But don't even take a call, not a single damn call, to potentially move Amari Cooper until you get the damn actual salary cap.
Of course.
Because otherwise, you're going to create a whole situation and it's going to start smelling a whole lot like a Golden Tate in New York. And, of course, Tate is not on Amari Cooper's level, but I'm talking about the relationship deterioration.
Right.
So careful with that. You're right, but careful.
Yeah, no, and Amari Cooper is definitely proven to be one of the players who wears his emotions on his sleeve. He is that type of guy. And we're seeing that people are talking about it. I believe the Eagles, one of the Eagles defenders talked about, you know, getting in his head, and you could tell his body language and all the stuff that people talk about. Mm-hmm. But let me make a couple points to what you're saying. You're absolutely correct. Nothing happens until you figure out exactly where the cap is.
Right.
Everything that we've said, though, so far this offseason or this season about the offseason, that applies to CeeDee Lamb. So if you're looking to pull the Bill Belichick and get ahead of something, CeeDee Lamb right now being in competition for the best Cowboys receiver, imagine him with a full offseason. How scary is that, dude? That's why we've said basically since day one, we envision CeeDee Lamb as having a Hall of Fame career. He has that kind of talent. He's shown the ability to translate that talent into NFL production, and the surface is only being scratched when it comes to his ability. So if he gets to that point and you have Michael Gallup being the 1B that he is, he's a 1B.
Yeah, Cooper's 1A, continue.
Being that complementary dynamic star that he is, it makes sense to clear room for CeeDee Lamb to ascend to the throne. If you have an offense where CeeDee Lamb is getting 15 targets a game, and then you have Cedric Wilson and Michael Gallup streaking down the sideline, one speedster and one guy that's just a bulldog at the catch point, that's an offense that can still get you 30, 32 points a game. So at that point, I guess my argument is this. Once CeeDee Lamb takes that next second-year step, are you nullifying the impact of your wide receivers? Like, you can't have all three wide receivers balling out at the same time once you get to that level. You can have them – you can have them mix and match – but you're going to have games where somebody is left out. We've seen that with the Cowboys so far this year. We've never really had a multitude of games, even with the five games that Prescott was in, where all three players balled out. So if I'm projecting CeeDee Lamb to take the next step and I'm projecting Michael Gallup to take the next step, there are only so many balls to go around. I think it would make more sense to trade Cooper. And again, this is only in the light of they need the money. If they don't need the money, you keep Jalen Smith. Much less Amari Cooper.
Right.
But if they need the money, if it has to come from someplace, and trust me, I studied this roster for the salary cap up and down. These are really the only two places that you can make a serious dent in the cap next year and to create space, unless like Tyron Smith retires, knock on wood, that never happens. But really, there's no other place that you're going to be able to get money that doesn't push a ton into the future. And again, we think that the cap is going to be down to 175. We don't know what the 2022 cap is. Because if they deem that the losses are so bad that they would have to reduce the cap beyond 175, they cap it at 175. They cap the minimum at the floor. And then 2022 is also decreased. So there's a possibility that this COVID-19 pandemic, just like it is on the health of America, it could be a multi-year problem when it comes to the salary cap in the NFL. They don't know that. They'll know that by the time that they just make these decisions on personnel. But it's just something to think about, that if you're looking to save any type of real money, you're either restructuring Ezekiel Elliott, and even for somebody that believes strongly in Ezekiel Elliott, I don't want to see them restructure Ezekiel Elliott's contract. You can restructure DeMarcus Lawrence again, but he doesn't have a long-term deal. He only has 3 more years after this season.
Right.
So you don't have as much space to spread out that cap hit if you turn his base salary into a restructure bonus. So really the only other player is Zach Martin. And yeah, you can do that something with Zach Martin. He's supposed to make $11 million in base salary. But at what point do you start to worry about how long he wants to keep playing? Knock on wood, another 5 years. Please, brother.
Right.
Please,
yeah.
Brother.
Yeah. Let's not put that. Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
But when I'm doing salary cap numbers, this is the way you have to think.
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? The real is the real.
So the Cowboys are in a situation where Jalen Smith and Amari Cooper are really the guys that you're going to be able to look to get instant savings and not damage yourself too much moving forward. That's where you're going to look. Whether or not they do that, whether or not they have to do that, is contingent on how much the cap is and where they stand with Dak Prescott. It might even force them to the point – I'll get you the mic back in a second. It might even force them to the point
– 17 minutes.
I know. I've been going. I understand. I got you on that last week. And on Monday, 17 minutes. I understand. Minutes. But it might even be to the point that it forces the Cowboys' hands when it comes to negotiating with Dak Prescott in January, that they don't have a choice but to finally relent and give him the deal that he deserves. Because they painted themselves into this corner, and then pandemic pushed them over the edge.
And that's exactly what I was – that's one of the things I was going to point out. The fact that you whiffed twice on trying to sign Dak Prescott in you know, as many years, right? We know that going into the last whiff in July, it basically came down to years, not necessarily money. Okay, new money. Okay, now we're talking around $40 million, especially now that we've seen what this team looks like without Dak Prescott.
Bro.
Both tangible and intangibles that he bring, you're going to have to pay him for all of that. Now, what I would say, and an excellent point, because the Cowboys, for those that are following all of this, we're covering all the potential angles. So when we're discussing one or two angles, and we're discussing X and Y, don't forget A and B. A and B are simply to sign Dak Prescott as soon as is possible. And it is possible to get that to agree to terms. And quiet as it's kept, Katie, they could be negotiating right now while we're having this conversation.
Right. Yep. Very true.
Okay. So that once the season is over, the season is over, it's a matter of Cowboys and Dak Prescott have agreed to terms. Why? Yep. Because they had already agreed to terms weeks ago, but they just couldn't say it because of the way the rules are set up in the NFL. But so that being said, you go ahead and you sign Dak Prescott immediately without having to franchise tag him. You're not forcing yourself into a corner that potentially forces you to move on Jalen Smith, potentially prematurely, and most definitely in my eyes, prematurely on Amari Cooper, because also keep in mind, you make some absolutely valid points when it comes to the CeeDee Lamb and what he could potentially do in Amari Cooper's spot. I don't disagree there, but we are also projecting. And I would rebut your absolutely solid take with the following. Projections often don't account for the injury factor. CeeDee Lamb, for example, he was 1 inch on that punt return earlier this season. He was 1 inch.
Scared the hell out of me.
From being done for the season. From having his leg snapped like Dak Prescott's leg was snapped. And you see things like that. And because it didn't happen, you tend to forget it didn't happen. Right? You tend to forget that moment. And then you start looking forward and you say, yeah, CeeDee Lamb can do what Amari Cooper does, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, all it takes is one play, just like Dak Prescott had never missed an NFL start. All it takes is one play. Amari Cooper has proven highly durable in the, at the NFL level. Even so, even with the injuries he's battled in the past couple of seasons, he still takes the field. He still battles through it. He doesn't miss games, right? The Cowboys have a surplus of talent at wide receiver. I would be nervous about being so overconfident in that surplus that you begin to cut into the fat, only to, knock on wood, 2 weeks into the season of 2021, 3 weeks into the season, or, you know, a playoff run next January, not this January, obviously not this January, but next January, a potential playoff run, you lose one of these top guys, knock on wood, and now you're wishing, oh boy, I wish we had Amari Cooper now, because now, without us knowing who, what they're going to do in free agency, what they're going to do in the draft, all we can go by is what we know. But now you're potentially in a situation where Gallup is your number one, which is totally fine. But Cedric Wilson, as good as he's looked, he's not been asked to carry a major workload like he would at wide receiver two. And for those that are saying, well, you know, what about Noah Brown? You don't want to put Noah Brown at wide receiver two. First of all, his build is similar to Michael Gallup. So you're not really gaining a complimentary player there as much as you're gaining a doppelganger with a little bit less ability and less of a resume. I try to be nice. So you got to be careful, and you're right on everything you're saying, but we would be remiss if we didn't inject the injury factor into the projection on what they should or should not do with Amari Cooper. Yes, it's wonderful to have an embarrassment of riches at the wide receiver position. However, it is in fact still the wide receiver position, and wide receivers get injured all the damn time. So again, CeeDee Lamb, one punt return earlier this season away from not being on the field at all for the rest of the year, possibly missing 13, 14 games. You have to take that into account. It's not to say that Lamb is not durable. One play, one wrong tackle, and it could be over. Plan accordingly for that. The Cowboys, and we both will agree on this next point, sign Dak Prescott before the February franchise tag deadline. Not only will that get that, that off of your back, but it also gets the potential conversation about Amari Cooper off of the table, potential conversation about Jalen Smith off of the table, and I'll throw one more in there. It helps you re-sign Auden Smith. These are things that have to be considered, and these are things that should push the Cowboys not to start having conversations about who should we move to create more space in January, you know, from January to February 1st. Who should we release? Who should we trade so we can get more room for Dak Prescott? No. You did that in 2020, cutting Dontari Poe, letting Gerald McCoy go after he got injured, cutting Daryl Worley, so forth and so on, restructuring guys like Teron Smith. You know, so we get it. You've already squirreled away that money. You let that money roll over. Let's assume it'll be 175. We know it'll be higher. Let's assume it'll be 175. Sign Dak Prescott in January. Sign Auden Smith the moment free agency lands, and then you go from there. Let all of these variables drive you to do what you should have done last year and the year before, which is get your goddamn franchise quarterback on a long-term deal and stop pissing on your own leg. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Here's my caveat and the reason why I'm so afraid of it being 175 for 2021. The NFL knows what they're doing. They make it seem like they make horrible public decisions. But when it comes to the finances, they know what they're doing. Yep. There's a reason why they are so profitable. I don't think that they're
not out here fucking up the count.
Right. That's the one thing they don't do. They might ruin the perception of the league.
Yeah, but they're not going all day long.
But they're not going to mess with that coin. They're not going to mess with the coin. I think that it's more than likely going to be that 175, because when they came out and they said if it's worse than 175, we'll push it over to 2022, I think that was a sign that they were predicting that was going to be the case. Yeah. And while the Cowboys are ramping up attendance ridiculously, I think they hit like 47,000. I'm exaggerating, but over 30,000.
31
for this last game. 31-7 for this last game. a lot of teams around the league aren't doing that. Some of them are just now starting to let fans back in the single thousands.
Right. And some won't for the rest
of the year. That money is not there. And while merchandising is what it is, merchandising also takes place on game day. So it's not just tickets and concession that they're missing. It's the Cowboy store that isn't open or isn't seeing 100,000 people walking past it every game.
Right.
So merchandising sales is down as well when it comes to the revenue that the NFL is getting. I think it's very big issue beyond what a lot of people are thinking. So I, in my head, while they are saying that it might not be 175, I'm more so leaning toward it's going to be 175 and there's going to be impact on 2022. So the Cowboys are going to have to get their act together. For those of you who have been here on the free show, I hope that we have convinced you why you need to be tuning in every week for all the full show.
All that was free? We gave all that for free?
If we haven't convinced you by now, oh well. Man, because it's time for
generous.
You to go. It's time for you to go.
We are generous.
If you're interested, patreon.com/catchthisfade. Go sign up now. Make sure you don't miss a single episode. And for those of you who have already subscribed, we are going to continue now with our conversation during this Cowboys bye week, looking forward to the positions that the Cowboys need to address the most in the offseason. We are going DEFCON 1, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.